Hi, and welcome to The Green Elephant, the show that takes sustainability, climate change, social and environmental issues and eats them, one fact at a time. We're all about inspiring sustainable habits. So sit back, relax, have fun, and learn together with your hosts, Russell and Mike.
This episode is brought to you by the fact that if the internet was a country, it would rank sixth for energy usage. And by the fact that the emissions generated by watching 30 minutes of Netflix is the same as driving almost 4 miles. And today's show is entitled, Can a Website Ever Be Green? So, we've got a few websites and run a number over the years, and we have used all sorts of hosts and technologies, such as AWS from
Here
Amazon,
we go.
Azure from Microsoft, Google, and lots of other technologies, such as things you might have heard of, like PHP, MySQL, WordPress, Drupal, ASP, .NET, CSS, and who remembers?
Oh.
Server-side includes. Wow.
I don't.
I think that was about...
Is that as technical as we're going to get? Because I my head just popped a little bit.
1990s.
I repeat my comment. I repeat my comment from other episodes where I say, you so old.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I think, you know, it's going to be difficult to pick the green bones out of all of that lot, but let's give it a try.
I must admit, before we dive into any more of the stats, it's been quite I don't suppose it really come across my radar as to how this growing monster of the internet, which started off with a bunch of universities, you know, bunging up a few pages, has now become this huge energy eating monster, which is in every part of our lives, isn't it? It's in our pockets nowadays.
It is. And I think we know that the wider internet is a huge user of energy and emitter of CO2, but I think an awful lot of that is really hidden, because there's so much stuff that goes on that's just invisible to users every day of the internet. They see their website, they see a bit of Facebook, and they're not aware that, you know, there are billions of transactions and interactions that go on they don't know about.
It is so hidden. What is it? You know, what's eating the energy? Because I've got my mobile phone and I've got my laptop, and of course I know they are consuming energy, but I've got a nice energy efficient laptop, and my phone is just battery. I mean, it doesn't take long to charge now. And so what's eating the power?
Well, I think the easiest way to think about it is, you know, the internet is made up of physical things, and the two most important of those physical things really are data centers, and that's where all the kit and computers and devices sit. And then the networks, or the bits of string and wire that connect them together. So you've got those two things: data centers, big warehouses of computers, and networks, cables and wires joining them all together. And that really, very simplistically, makes up the internet. And both of those things use a huge amount of power.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, we've had the privilege of spending many years working in data centers and running networks of some size, but to the uninitiated, that might all be a bit of a mystery. You know, so you got this amorphous blob of kit that sits somewhere, Amazon, Microsoft, or some of the bigger ones, Google, and then people plop their websites, their images, their blogs, their rantings onto
mostly,
some tool or another. Yep. And then that obviously has to be stored. When yeah. somebody calls upon it, it has to be served up to them. And obviously that doesn't happen by magic. It has to use electricity to transmit yeah. from, yeah. you know, because you could be looking at a website that's on the other side of the world and yeah. all of a sudden it's on your mobile phone.
So, I mean, what listeners have to imagine is that there's a huge warehouse, but instead of storing loads of products or boxes, instead it stores loads and loads of computers, thousands of them, and they're all connected with wires and lots of flashing lights. And each one of those computers might have 1, 2, 10, 50 websites sitting on those computers. And it's the job of those computers to make sure the website is available to people when they need it. But if you imagine a room filled with a few thousand computers, that needs a lot of things to run it, all of which take energy and power.
Yeah.
So those computers all generate a lot of heat. There's loads yeah, of heat coming out the back of those, and they need to be cooled down.
And that I mean, if people have got a laptop, even if they've, you know, used their phone for some time, they can feel the warmth in the phone.
Mm.
Or you know your fan kicks on your laptop or your PC, yep. Yep. that duplicate that by 10,000 in a room. Yeah,
absolutely. It's, yeah.
And some of these rooms can be, yeah. you know, I've had a data center which I ran where the air conditioning went off, and as you step into a 60-degree room,
yeah,
can get but you then warm. Realize you're getting that down to human comfortable 21. Even 25 degrees, which would be a bit sweaty. That takes a lot of gumption. I think yeah. one of the stats that you pulled out was that 43% of what emits CO2 is that to power it, and then ironically enough to cool it down. So yeah. it's rather so, ridiculous yeah. situation that we're
43%
in.
43% of the power is used to cool the thing down, and then you've got another 43% of the power actually powering all the computers and the devices that connect the computers. And then you've got storage, because all of these devices need to store information somewhere. And so you have very specialist computers, if you like, that have lots and lots of storage disks in them that store information. And then you need to power the cables and the wires that join all these things together. So there's a lot of the different components. I guess the good news is that, you know, in terms of progress, the internet and those big companies are really at the forefront of reducing their energy usage, of being renewable, of consolidating from thousands of smaller energy inefficient sites into, you know, smaller numbers of huge energy efficient locations. So yes, internet uses a lot of power, but it is also at the forefront of reducing that power usage and being more efficient. So,
and that you're using some quite interesting things, something like putting these things in colder environments, colder atmospheres. So, because it doesn't matter where they are, really, as long as you can get a decent connection to the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a seriously decent connection to the internet.
But you know, there's we talked a bit about the kind of the infrastructure that sits behind it and that, you know, runs the internet. But there's lots of different things that run over the top of that, and they have different impacts. So let's take, you know, the ways in which we talk to each other, whether that's via email or SMS or tweets or instant messaging. Each of those has a different impact. So email, as an example, is it 0.3 grams of carbon, if I remember correctly, it's on my head. So every email that's sent
uses
a little bit of carbon. We need to just double check that. But one of the listeners will correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure.
I'm sure they, yeah.
But so it's not just the email that you send. It's all those emails that get sent from mailing lists and the billions of spam emails that get sent a day. So that, you know, just gives you some insight as to the way these things can grow without you kind of knowing about them. And then there's streaming services. So you know, the amount of energy needed to run Netflix or iPlower.
iPlower, easy for you to say.
That's a farming device, I think, or you know, Disney Plus or HBO or whatever the services are.
Are you just naming them all in case we have to claim other channels do exist?
I think I missed out Amazon Prime and Hulu, but there are many of them. Yes. And then, you know, as we move forward, the Internet of Things is growing and, you know, all these billions of connected devices all using energy.
Drawing their little bit, yeah.
Yeah, doing their little bit. But, I mean, that's the kind of the why of the Internet, which is kind of like the backbone, the baseline to individual websites. And really wants to talk on this podcast about individual websites. It's not just about the energy from that data center. It's all about user devices. So who's accessing your site? What sort of device are they accessing it on? How much data is being transferred between your website and the user device? And that's quite a variable thing. If you've got a website like we do that has an audio podcast on it, the amount of data transferred is a lot more than if you've got a purely text-based website. So, you know, it could be said that the green elephant website is not very green compared to
a plain text Wikipedia
page.
But it's not very inclusive and not very, it's not very marketable, unfortunately. That's very appealing. And I suppose just, you know, slightly off on it is that although this is an interesting conversation, is everything the balance between giving people choice, giving those who are perhaps less advantaged the options to be able to listen to something instead of read something.
Accessibility,
that all of those matters are part of the bigger issues that balance is needed. You can't sacrifice everything to be green there's an argument. Can you sacrifice everything to be green? What we're saying is that an individual website could perhaps tune itself not necessarily to be just about marketing, just about getting clicks and getting being high on the index, which is what everyone wants to get at the top of the Google. You might also want to start thinking about really making sure that it is running as clean and as green as possible.
Absolutely. I think we'll come on to some of those points in a minute, but I think, you know, some of what we said about the streaming and what's on the page and is it accessible, that, you know, it really comes down to what content are you putting on your website? And, you know, every transfer to and from your website to a device has an impact. And so therefore, if you're transferring small things, that's going to have less of an impact than transferring huge downloads or streaming services. But it also says that if you can save things, called caching, if you're technical, if you can save stuff, that's a good thing because it's then on the user's local device and doesn't have to be transferred. We then get into another ethical, moral discussion around what you should and shouldn't save and what you should and shouldn't track. Let's not discuss that one today.
Please don't.
That's a real hornet's nest of...
We're not here for that particular discussion. We'll leave that to a completely different podcast. Yeah.
Not today. No, indeed. But but some of the questions to ask you, if you're conscious of these things, you know, deciding whether you need that fancy functionality or fancy widget or that additional bit of content, do you really? Is it really adding to the user experience and what the user wants, or is it just a bit of a fun doodad that you'd quite like to have on your website and, you know, increases the impact of the site? And I think the other thing is that you've got technical teams in one corner, in the blue corner, technical team designing the site In the red corner, you've got the sales and marketing team.
I'm getting really exciting.
In the green corner, so this is a three-sided boxing ring we've got. In the green corner, you've got the impact of the website. And again, come back to that word balance. How do you achieve a good balance between those three potentially conflicting viewpoints around viewpoints? Viewpoints around what the website perhaps needs to do and to deliver.
I suppose actually I'm gonna stretch your triangular boxing ring, or wrestling ring, depending on your taste, to a square. And I think going back to your point about what you should and shouldn't do, you've got the compliance one in the other corner. there's some other guy in the corner going, you can't put that on there, or you can't keep it on there, or you can't do this. But that's an interesting four-sided argument to be had. And I wonder if there are companies out there actually getting all those people around the table, that kind of eco, we're struggling with this word eco on you, but that more environmentally aware person talking, and how we keep it legal and safe for the people to use, how we keep it pretty, and how we make sure it's functional. Yeah.
And I think that conflicting requirements and that difficulty in balance, I think, you know, draws us to why, you know, having a website, back to the, you know, title of the show, can a website ever be green? It's really difficult, and you're always going to have some impact. And it's really about how do you reduce that impact, and then how do you reduce the energy use and the emissions? And then, you know, when you are using energy, how do you perhaps then look at maybe offsetting? And I guess offsetting is a discussion for another show, but being aware that when you've got a website, it has an impact. And I think, you know, that's the key message. Can a website ever be green? In and of itself, it uses energy, it creates emissions.
Nothing's as green as fresh air.
Be aware of it. You know, be aware of what it is, and take some steps to make a difference. So, I guess I'll go first with a step. Think about who's hosting your site. Are you using a green web host? And there are some organisations that specialised in this, and it's very easy to tell from their website. They'll be talking themselves about renewable energy, where they offset, their sustainability principles, and you'll find all this information. It's very easy to tell very quickly the kind of the green position of the web host that you're using. So, you know, check who you're using and see if they're sustainable.
That might take a little bit more digging, mightn't it? I mean, if they're not green, are we basically saying if they're not that green, then they won't say they're green?
I think that's probably the case. If the companies are generally shouting about it and using
it is a sale point. But be aware that actually the greenest type of website is no website at all, in a theory. So as close as you can get to light, it does bring into, you know, the streaming, the world is revolutionized probably in the last, probably since the internet became very accessible to 97% of England or UK at least. But the streaming suddenly went, all right, well, don't buy a CD again. And so vinyl gets a resurgence. There's a different matter. And then you end up with this huge, huge graphical load coming down the wire. Okay, nominal amount that actually push it down the wire, but it's actually that engine at the background that's streaming this stuff unique to you.
Yeah.
To you, and you have to have, you know, 50 meg connection to the internet to get a decent. And you can get 3D video, 3D movies through it, which are just bonkers in size. We just take that for granted and just bang it down. It's be nice to say, you know, this is going to cost you, you know, this is going to burn this amount of electricity, or this is going to burn, emit this amount of CO2.
You know, it comes, you know, action, when we say green web host, but another action that everybody should take is to be transparent with your users, whether they're
Yeah, if you're
internal, external, about the impact of what you're doing and the impact of your site.
And keep your content small. And
yeah, well, I was just going to run through a list of tips on, you know, optimizing your content and making it
glad more
you
know efficient. What you're doing.
And you know, there are numbers of things that you can do. And again, listeners, any tips or further suggestions on optimizing and greening your website, then, you know, look us up on social and tell us what you think. But here's a few to get started with. So firstly, optimize and reduce your images and videos. Can you make them smaller? Can you make them quicker to download? Or perhaps could you use text instead? Quite often I see logos and images where the text has been created as an image rather than just using the text. Seems a bit silly. And on text, use standard fonts. Why download font files and, you know, create additional overhead? So use standard fonts. We mentioned this briefly, but use nice clean code. Don't include features and functions that you don't need. I mean, a widely used platform is something like WordPress, where, you know, people go with a default install and there's all sorts of stuff in there you don't really need, don't really use. Just get rid of it. Just use nice, clean, stripped back stuff.
Yeah, or they load it with widgets and features, and you have a, you know, today's date is, and then there's all sorts of the weather is, and it's nothing relating to it. All of that is a load.
Yeah.
On the site.
Next tip is to use something called accelerated mobile pages, or AMP, and this is something that Google are keen on. So do this, and you'll help your Google rankings, because it makes your pages faster, which is what Google likes, but it strips out unnecessary content and makes it easier to serve to mobile. So look up AMP and do that for your site. And then finally, in terms of a quick tip, use caching. We talked about storing information, but use caching so users don't need to download things every time. You know, make sure that it's as easy and as quick for users to come back to your site time after time. So, in conclusion, jump in, Russell.
That has been obviously very focused on if you are the provider of a website. You know, you're the business making the website, and of course, there might be some people out there going, "I don't write websites. I don't. All I do is browse them. Can I do anything? In terms of actions, is, you know, look out for the greener websites and perhaps promote them. You know, that would be good. If you find, we'd love you to promote ours, of course. You can go to
maybe we could talk. I mean, there's all sorts of things you could do to make your browsing experience
locally
eco. I mean, you could, you know, for example, switch to a browser like Lynx or something, which is purely text-based. You don't get any streaming or media images at all. That'd be very out there, but the experience wouldn't be perhaps what some people might use something like Ecosia, who, you know, for every Ecosia, instead of Google, for every search you do, you know, they plant trees. So there's, and we'll put links to a couple of those things in the show notes, as well as like you know, carbon testers for websites and things like that, so that you can, you know, for those listeners that want to, you know, dig into this some more, they can follow those links and do that. But I think what we're saying really is that, you know, can a website be green? Well, even though we can't see them, hosting a website uses energy and produces emissions, but they're making some small changes to what you put on your website and how you construct your website can make a really big difference to the impact that it has.
The favorite fact of the moment, which was the music video for Despacito. I thought it was an intro, a great fact, and kind of
so
just to seal the conversation off, is it set an internet record in April 2018. It became the first video to hit 5 billion views on YouTube.
Indeed.
Not and completely convinced why, but let's
more energy than 40,000 US homes use in a year. Yeah, so that just demonstrates the impact websites can have.
Yeah. So it you know, you can get some joys. Perhaps you should curtail them, and watching some pop videos might. Let's move on rapidly to encouraging people to have a look at the greenelephant.show website, which would be good. There's we log all our facts on there, so when we find a fact and we're talking about it on a show, you'll find it on there, so you can use it and quote it, retweet it, whatever you fancy. And of course, we are on the Green Ellie Pod on social. All of the social networks that are big enough to care. And we love to hear from anybody that wants to say something. And as is the way, if you disagree with us, okay,
tell us.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
We're always up for a little bit of a chat. Yes.
Yeah, indeed. Well, until next time.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye. Thanks for listening to this edition of Green Elephant. It's been a pleasure to have your company. If you've got thoughts or comments on anything you've heard on the show, please drop us a line using studio@greenelephant.show. We love hearing your views and ideas. In the meantime, let's carry on the conversation. We're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube and Twitter as Green Ellie Pod. Come back soon.